Welcome to Lagniappe, a program about issues, events, and people in North Louisiana. I'm Corey Crow. I'm joined today by John Stringer, the Vice President of the Ouachita River Valley Association. Welcome.
Thank you, Corey.
Glad you're with us today. And Mr. Stringer, there's a lot going on the Ouachita River system, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you here today. The river system has a lot of threats out there. Can you kind of describe what's happening and why times might get hard on the river?
Yeah, basically, we have the Ouachita Black River Navigation Project. We've had a navigation project in place on the Ouachita Black River system since 1925. So most people don't know the river without the navigation project and the pool that it created. The problem in the last few years has been inadequate funding, and that's caused issues with the commercial shippers. And number one, commercial tonnage is what dictates the funding for the project. It takes a little over $11 million annually to operate the project fully. This year, for instance, we've got $8.4 million in the budget. So it's up to us, the Ouachita River Valley Association, to advocate for additional funding to fund the needs of the river system, mainly dredging right now. And the problem with inadequate dredging, it scares people away from the river. We've lost shippers because of that, and we can't induce shipping on the river in the future if we don't have a reliable channel. So that's the basic problem right now.
So to sum that up, basically we don't have enough commercial traffic. The only thing the Corps of Engineers is looking at is how much commercial traffic you have on the river. And if you don't have that, you can't dredge. Therefore, you don't have as much commercial traffic. But then you don't have a need for the lock and dam system anymore. And ultimately, this thing could end up where locks get abandoned, which is like pulling a big plug down there in Columbia, and the river basically dries out.
That is a real possibility. Back in 2004-05, there was no money in the budget, and we had to go to Washington and have money restored in the budget to fund the project, and we've had a problem with that ever since then. And what would happen if Office of Management Budgets decides the river is low use enough that they don't want to fund it, then we don't have another source of funding. So what would happen, the four locks and dams would go into what the Corps calls caretaker status. There would be no work done on them, and if you have a catastrophic failure, then you lose the navigation pool, which the water is pooled anywhere from 30 feet from the Jonesville Lock and Dam up to 12 feet at H.K. Thatcher Lock and Dam. For example, here in Monroe, you'd lose over 20 feet of the navigation pool, which would be about 20, 23 feet below what it is currently today.
Okay, so if the river, what's the river at today?
It's a little over 22 feet today. So the pool is about 20 and a half to 21 feet. So it'd go to a negative 3 feet, according to the Corps, if you lost the navigation pools.
So a negative 3 feet, does that mean we've got pretty much a beach with a little stream running through there?
You would have a meandering stream going through sandbars, basically, and you wouldn't even be able to navigate a houseboat, you know, except during the winter when you have high water. But during the summer, low water months, you'd have no navigation at all, maybe just small boats.
What about like the people that fish on the river, the hunters, the duck hunters? How would you get a boat into the river if you were 20 feet less water in it?
Well, all the boat ramps would be out of the water, and that's not the only problem. That pool of water created by those four locks and dams serves a lot of uses now. There were a lot of spinoffs from that project, industrial use, agricultural use, recreational use. You would lose all of that, basically, and as I said in the past, that would be catastrophic to this entire region of North Louisiana and South Arkansas.
So things like the power plant, power plants in Sterlington, the paper mill, Angus Chemical, graphic packaging, those guys that use water out of the river and return wastewater back into the river, or treated wastewater back into the river, they may not be able to do that in the future if we got to this nightmare scenario. We're a long way from that, hopefully.
We are a long way from it, and you're correct. They would not have that source of water, and unless they could retool, then that'd be a pretty hard business decision for them, whether to stay here or go somewhere else. We don't intend for that to happen. I don't want to scare people, but you know, Congress has assured us they're going to do whatever they can to keep the project operational. But the problem is that the funding right now is inadequate, and we hope to correct that in the near future. There's a move to put more money into infrastructure, and we're going to make sure we get our share of the pie when it becomes available.
If you had to give the river system a grade right now, 1 to 10, where are we at right now and, you know, on a 1 to 10 scale?
Well, we had a visit with Washington a couple of weeks ago. I'd say it's probably a 7 right now. It's, you know, it's where I'm optimistic, a little more optimistic than I've been in quite a few years by what I'm hearing from the folks in Washington.
Is there something as an association, you guys, I guess, are lobbying? Is there something that folks here maybe need to be doing or not doing? How do we help in the effort to make sure we still have a Washita River in the future?
Well, just be aware of all the benefits provided, such as all the fuel that comes into this region comes up on the river, and be aware of all the benefits, and when you have an opportunity to express to your congressional delegation how important this river is to our region, and I think that's being done, and they do understand. It's just that they're a small group in Washington, even though they're influential in a lot of ways. It takes the entire Congress to fund this project, and that's where our concern is right now.
If somebody is out there this morning and says, you know, I want to maybe get involved with this organization, ORVA, the Washita River Valley Association, and kind of help out with the river, help do what you can, how do they find out more about ORVA, and what area does ORVA cover?
Well, we have a website they can go to, and they can contact me at the Tensaw Basin Levee District, and we span the entire region. You know, the Washita watershed is about 16,000 square miles, takes in a lot of territory, and we have individual memberships all the way up to commercial user memberships. Government, business and industry, all up and down the river are members, and we need their voice and we need their membership.
All right. To find out more about the Washita River Valley Association, visit ORVA.org. And don't forget about our Policy in a Pint coming up. We'll have a panel of guests who will be talking about the things that are going on the river. We'll take a look at the business community. We'll take a look at the technical end of things, and then also take a look at the impact on the average person. That's coming up on the 11th of April at SQ's restaurant, KEDM's Policy in a Pint on the Washita River. Mr. Stringer, thanks for being with us. This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. You're listening to Lanyap.